From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. A car can be a second chance. That's the framework of Vehicles for Change, a nonprofit that repairs donated cars and awards them to low-income families at a fraction of their market value. Repairs are completed by participants in Full Circle, a job training program for people returning from prison. We hear from founder Marty Schwartz and Perry Spain, who finished the program and is on his way to becoming a master mechanic. He describes the benefits of classroom teaching combined with hands-on instruction.
You can sit there and read everything you can learn about a car in a book, but until you actually put your hands on that vehicle, you don't know what you're in store for. So I found a balance.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. A car can represent many things: security, independence, opportunity. It can also represent a second chance. Vehicles for Change is a nonprofit that repairs donated cars and awards them to low-income families for a fraction of the price. Repairs are completed by participants in their job training program, individuals who've returned home from prison. Marty Schwartz founded Vehicles for Change in 1999. Marty, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Where did the idea for Vehicles for Change come from?
So the idea actually was from a for-profit company called Precision CertaPro, who was out of Virginia, and they were an auto parts distributor. They kind of had the idea that they wanted to create a nonprofit that tied together their business a little bit and gave back to the community. They kind of incubated this idea a little bit, and I just happened to be in the right place at the right time.
And what place were you in at that point?
I was actually, I had been working with a program like this called Cars for Careers in Howard County. I had developed the idea for them, and in 1998, I was at an event, back then we called it Catonsville Community College, and it was an automotive training program, and I was there actually just to look and see if I could get parts donated for Cars for Careers. And I ran into the general manager of this company, Precision CertaPro, and went down and met with their management and with their board of directors, and they convinced me that I should come and build this program in four states instead of just in Howard County.
So the original idea was getting cars at low cost into the hands of families that need them and couldn't buy their own.
That's correct.
When did training get added to
So we actually thought about the training idea back as early as 2004. We were, you know, at that point, most of our cars were repaired by external garages. And one of the things that we were always running into was the garages couldn't get our cars done fast enough because they didn't have any technicians. And I'm thinking, well, why don't we start training auto mechanics? Well, back then, we didn't really have a facility that was big enough to do it in. And they weren't in such high demand. The mechanics weren't in such high demand by the garages that they were willing to take a chance on individuals that either had some sort of substance abuse background or criminal background. So, and we also were very early in the stages of the organization. We'd only been around for 5 years. We were focusing on car awards. So, you know, fast forward 10 years, and in 2012, we bought our facility in Halethorpe, which is a 33,000 square foot facility. And when I toured the facility, it was like, it was way more than a light bulb that went off. It was like, wow, this is it. We can now have the facility that we need to train. And we knew that technicians at that point were in such high demand that we could get people, as long as we trained them well, we could get people employed.
How many participants have completed? It's called the Full Circle program.
It's called Full Circle Auto Repair and Training Center, and we have two, one in Halethorpe and one on Greenmount Avenue in Waverly.
And that was the one that was donated?
That's correct. That business was donated.
Tell me briefly about that.
So, I met Jerry Greff in early 2017. Jerry was actually looking to get out of the repair business. He had tried to sell the business and wasn't going as well. It's in a pretty rough neighborhood. And so through a connection of some folks at the Department of Labor Licensing and Regulation, Jerry found us and knew what we were doing, and it worked out very well that he was excited to donate the business. And it gave us a chance really to kind of for the first time run an outside garage, which is one of our goals was to
look
and
see.
What
do you mean by an outside garage?
So our facility in Halethorpe, most of the cars that we fix in Halethorpe are our own cars, cars that have been donated that are going to go to families, cars that have been donated that we put on our retail lot. Now, that garage is a social enterprise, and anybody can bring their car there and get it fixed, but we weren't doing a whole lot of business there. So this gave us a chance to kind of take a garage business and see if we could actually run a garage business with the idea that, yeah, maybe we'll look to open a couple of these.
Back to my question, how many participants have completed the Full Circle program?
So we've had, I think now, 113 enter the program. We have 13 still there. We have 100 who have graduated. We've been very lucky in a lot of ways, and in other ways, it's just the way we recruit individuals.
How do you recruit?
So we work with, through the Department of Labor Licensing Regulation, there's a training program in the prison system. Most of our guys have gone through that training program, and our director of training, Nikki Zaire, she goes into the five different schools in the prisons and talks to them about coming into our program. So the first step is they have to be recommended by their instructor in the prison, and then they have to go through what I call the Nikki test. So Nikki is just amazing at sitting down with these men and women and interviewing them and finding out, one, if they're ready to come into the program, you know, because there's other barriers that they have to work with. And sometimes those barriers are barriers that we can work with, right? They don't have a driver's license. They don't have a car. They don't have a place to live. Those are things we can work with. But if they still have some substance abuse problems, if they still have some reconciliation that they have to do with some family, if they still have to mature a little bit, those are things that we're not ready to deal with. So she gives them avenues to catch up on those things. Some of them come back. But when they come into our program, she tells them, if you finish, we'll find you a job. And so we have 100% placement rate. We actually have 100% completion rate.
You used the phrase a minute ago, most of our guys. Is it all guys?
It is not. We've had 9 women, so almost 1%. And our program's run by a female, so she's very interested in getting more women into our program.
One of the problems reentry programs often confront is that their clients may be returning to an environment that's filled with the same temptations that these people experienced before they were incarcerated. How do you help your clients stay focused?
So our biggest thing is that we pay them. So our guys get paid while they're in our program. They get paid $9 an hour. So it's not a tremendous amount of money, but it is enough money that they can survive. And again, in the recruitment process, we find people who are pretty focused. So our guys, you know, they stay very focused along the way. And we don't have a cohort start on a certain date and graduate on a certain date. When you're ready to leave, you go and you go to work. So one individual may be there 3 months, one might be there 4 months, one might be there 5 months. So
how do you know if someone's ready to leave?
One is their ability as a mechanic. So, you know, can they take an engine out? Can they drop a transmission? Can they replace it? And then the other is just their maturity level, where they are as far as kind of a lot of intangibles there and looking at them and knowing that, yeah, you're ready to go.
So both of these are in the judgment of the people training them.
That's correct. That's correct. And so The one thing that has occurred almost naturally is that the individuals who have been there for 3 and 4 months who are almost ready to go take the new guys under their wing. And so they grab them and they help them figure out, you know, what it's all about and what's important and how to stay focused. And in some instances, they teach as well because they're to the point where, you know, they're ready to go become a mechanic. So they can teach how to do a set of brakes, how to do a suspension and stuff. So it's turned out to be a really cool dynamic between the guys who have been there for 4 months and the guys who are new.
A pretty high percentage of people leaving prison end up back in prison. How many participants in Full Circle have been rearrested?
We currently have one out of 100.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Kass speaking with Marty Schwartz, president and founder of the nonprofit Vehicles for Change. You mentioned Vehicles for Change also runs a retail lot that is open to the public called Freedom Wheels. Why do you operate that? What does that do?
It generates more money for our program. So, we're very big on social enterprise. My feeling is that, if you're going to be a nonprofit, it just simply means that you can't take the money home. But you can certainly make money. And our goal is to make money because the more money we make, the more people we can serve. And so we have a used car business. We sell cars to the general public. Most of those cars are donated, but they're higher end quality cars. So, for instance, right now we have a 2012 Mini Cooper with 78,000 miles on it. Not a great car to award to a family, but it's a car that we can sell for $8,000 and generate enough money to fix 5 or 6 more cars that'll go to families.
And from your observation, what difference does reliable transportation make for low-income families?
It is really transformational. Because, when we started this, we knew that it was going to make a difference economically. We have 60,000 low-income households in the Baltimore metropolitan area without a car and without access to public transportation to get to an entry-level or mid-level job. Those folks are never, never escaping poverty, no matter what we do. We can go down to Cherry Hill and give everybody a PhD. They still can't get to work. So until we figure out the massive transportation problem, we're still going to have huge pockets of poverty. But when we provide somebody a car, our typical recipient is a single mom with 2 to 3 small children. It's hard enough to navigate life without a car and get to employment. But when you're talking about having to get your children to daycare and to after-school activities, to recreational-type activities, it is virtually impossible. And then figure out you got to get to a doctor. You got to get to a grocery store. You can't get to those things, especially if you're a single parent without a car.
We need to take a quick break here. On the Record, Marty Schwartz, founder of Vehicles for Change, is sticking with us, and we'll hear from a graduate of the Full Circle Job Training Program who's on his way to becoming a master mechanic. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Kass. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Kast. Those returning home from prison face enormous barriers to finding jobs, a criminal record, lack of education sometimes, difficulty in finding housing. Full Circle Service Center, a subsidiary of the nonprofit Vehicles for Change, offers ex-offenders a paid automotive internship that prepares them for eventual employment in the industry. Marty Schwartz is the founder of Vehicles for Change. He's with us. And now Perry Spain joins us. He's a recent graduate of the Full Circle Training Program, which is part of Vehicles for Change. He was incarcerated for 15 years for second-degree attempted murder. He's now a full-time service technician in Randallstown, Maryland. Welcome to On the Record.
Good morning.
Perry, how did you find out about Vehicles for Change?
When I transitioned to minimum release security in prison, that's when you have less than 24 months left. They offer what you call Occupational Skills Training Center, and they offer a variety of skills that you can learn, such as woodworking, arts and graphics. And they offer the program dealing with auto mechanics. So while I was incarcerated in Jessup, I had previous skills working for Maryland Correctional Enterprises. I learned carpentry skills there. I did that for about 10 years, how to build tables, desks. I learned how to work with tools. So once I seen the automotive program, I knew that I could be successful in that because I had a basic understanding of power tools and things like that. And I knew it would be challenging. So I signed up for the program. You have to complete it for 6 months. It's a 6-month program, Occupational Skills Training Center. And once I completed that, they let me know that you can move forward when you're released and participate in Vehicles for Change.
So you hadn't actually worked with cars before. That was like going to be a new thing for you.
A new thing. I didn't even know how to wear the windshield washer fluid at sometimes. But I'm good with tools, so I knew it wouldn't be a problem.
Marty, who are the instructors in Full Circle?
So we have a book instructor, Wayne, who works with the guys. So they spend 90 minutes in the classroom, and they prepare for the ASE test. So the ASE test is a National Excellence Test for Automotive. On average, our guys pass a minimum of 4. Perry, I don't know how many you have when you left.
I have all 10.
These numbers you're throwing at, these are different segments of knowledge about car
correct.
Repair.
Correct. There's brakes, there's suspension, there's electric. And then they spend the rest of the day, 6.5 hours, hands-on, actually working on cars under Mohammed, who is our master tech, and a couple other full-time technicians who are there.
Perry, some of the training was in the classroom and some on the floor, as Marty said. What did you learn in each of these sections?
Well, in the classroom, I learned the technical side of actually how the car works, what make the car works, what could go wrong. And on the floor, it's a whole different story. You can sit there and read everything you can learn about a car in a book, but until you actually put your hands on that vehicle, you don't know what you're in store for. So I found a balance, because some people, they gravitate to more towards of learning the technical knowledge, and some people gravitate to more to actually getting their hands dirty. You know, I studied when I went home. Everything that I was learning in the classroom, I took 2 to 3 hours a day and studied that. And sometimes I try to get there early before class to actually get on the floor and have the one-on-one time with Muhammad. So I knew that I had to create find a balance between the two.
Was there some skill that was more of a challenge than the other, something you struggled with and before you mastered it?
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
Pick one.
I'm dealing with a transmission, because there are so many small parts that you have to get right before you actually take it apart. Because if you overlook one thing, when it's time to put that transmission back together and you turn that key and it doesn't turn over, and I did that about twice. You learn quickly off of your mistakes, because it's laborious and you don't want to make many mistakes. So you take your time and you make sure you do it correctly.
That's Perry Spain, a recent graduate of Full Circle Service Center at Vehicles for Change, a job training program for formerly incarcerated individuals. He's now a full-time service technician. This is On the Record on WIP. I'm Sheila Cast, and also with us is Marty Schwartz, founder of Vehicles for Change. Marty, how much can participants earn once they graduate?
Typically, they start at about $35,000. And as a good mechanic, you can make as much as $150,000 a year. So good auto mechanics or diesel mechanics literally are worth their weight in gold. We have two individuals who graduated just 3 years ago who are already making over $100,000 a year as diesel mechanics.
Wow. The barriers I mentioned earlier, criminal record, difficulty finding housing, how do you help participants in Full Circle navigate those?
Our team of Nikki and our case manager work with each individual. They meet with them once a week. And talk
with
to them
everybody.
About with everyone in the training program, and they talk about, you know, the barriers that they're facing. As far as the employment barriers, you know, our approach to Vehicles for Change and to the training center has been what I call the Field of Dreams approach. If you build it, they will come. And we have built, I think, the best automotive ownership program in the country. And we have built a phenomenal auto training program to the point where we literally have employers calling us every single week wanting to know if they can get involved with our program and start to hire our graduates. And so we've made it to the point where these guys are so good when they come out that employers overlook the fact. And not that overlook the fact, but they understand that we vouch for them when they come out. And if we vouch for them, they know they're getting a good, solid employee who's going to be a good mechanic.
So you've got employers pounding on your door or ringing your phone off the hook. Could you train more?
Absolutely.
What is the limiting factor? Why aren't you training more?
Right now it's funding. So the more funding that we can get, the more people we can train. So we're trying to build our repair business. So if your listeners would like to bring their car to our center and get it repaired, our costs are less expensive, and all that money goes back into training additional individuals. We could easily be placing 100 individuals a year just in the Baltimore metropolitan area.
Perry, before you joined this program, did you worry about finding full-time employment once you were released?
Yes. When it's time for you to be released from prison, the main thing you worry about is where you're going to stay and where you're going to work. So once I found out about the opportunity to participate in this program, it was like a load was just lifted off. I knew that if I focused and I gave it everything that I had, that I could be successful.
So what has this program meant to you?
It's life-changing. You know, it actually gives me the skills to go out there and sell myself to employers. They assist you with as much as they can, but at the end of the day, it's on me to really take the skills that I have, go out, conduct the interviews, and actually get a job. They don't go with me on the interviews. They're not there every day while I'm working on a cause. So while I'm in this program, I knew early on that I had to do whatever it takes for me, because when I leave, I'm on my own. I got to take advantage of everything that I learn, everything that I can do here, so when I move forward, I can be successful, because it's on me at the end of the day. And that was my motivation.
You graduated in December, right?
Yes. It's more of when you're ready. You know, I could have left earlier, but I felt as though I needed to stay the whole 6 months until I was confident. It's about confidence, you know, because you have an instructor there, but once you're confident enough to actually attack the vehicle and you don't really need to keep asking questions, then I feel that's when I was ready. So, yes, I graduated.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So, Marty, you have expanded vehicles for change from here in Maryland to Virginia, Washington, D.C., and Detroit.
We have. So we now award cars throughout the state of Maryland and Virginia, and we actually opened an office in Detroit where we do training and car awards since 2015.
What's next?
We want to expand to other cities. Currently, we're looking at putting a location in Prince George's County and potentially on the Eastern Shore. We're actually approached by some folks from the Eastern Shore that they need boat mechanics. They can't find boat mechanics, so if you can fix a car, you can fix a boat, right, Barry?
Definitely, please.
So we're looking at opening some other facilities here in Maryland, but then also looking at other facilities. Reentry right now is a huge focus. We know that they just passed the First Step Act in Congress, and so there's a big push for reentry programs and prison reform, and we have a program that works, and so why not make it available to as many people as we possibly can?
Perry, so while you're training, you're working on cars that are going to be sold for cheap to families that need them. What does that mean for you?
The cars that we repair that I had the opportunity to work on that I know we're going to be awarded, it just gives you a sense of able to help someone out. You know, after coming from prison and, you know, the negative stereotypes that's associated with people that come out of prison, when you're actually doing things that you know that's going to assist someone instead of hurt someone, it gives you a sense of well-being, a calmness. Like, and seeing the women and the children, and you know that what you did directly is going to affect their lives moving forward and assist them with getting to work every day, it makes me happy.
Are you going to miss that, working for a commercial place that doesn't award cars?
I'm always at the shop. I come to the shop at least 3-4 times a month on my lunch break. So I'm always going to be affiliated with VFC because they help me out so much. And whatever I can do to assist the program and assist the guys, come through, talk to them, and show them that if they do stay focused, that they can have a career. There are opportunities out here, and there are people that are willing to help you.
Perry, what career goals are you working toward now?
I've completed all 10 student ASC certification. So once I get about another year of actually on the floor, I'm ready to move forward to start working on the master certifications that you need to move on. And I basically just want to become a master technician within the next 3 to 5 years.
What does it mean to be a master compared? You sound pretty knowledgeable to me already.
It means that you have a vast array of knowledge of everything that goes on in the vehicle. You know, you're able to diagnose, you're able to repair, and you're able to actually train. You can train. If I get those skills and I get that certificate as a master mechanic, I can actually sell myself to Toyota. I can go to Honda, and I actually can go there, and I actually can start training people and things like that. Being a master, that means I've had that working knowledge. I've seen everything. I can listen to a car and understand, okay, this car needs a muffler. I can look at it and actually know that, okay, take that apart, put that there, that goes there. within a matter of seconds.
That's exciting. I thank you both for telling us about it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Marty Schwartz is the founder and president of Vehicles for Change. Perry Spain is a graduate of the Full Circle Job Training Program and a full-time service technician in Randallstown. At the On the Record page at WIPR.org, we have links to more information about vehicle donation and the Full Circle Service Center. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.